Parental advisory, explicit content. The following songs you're about to hear contain cursing and may contain references to violence, sexual situations, or substance abuse. Whammy Radio is not responsible for the content featured in this digital recording. Portions of this podcast have been pre-recorded. The reproduction or redistribution, in part or in whole, of this digital recording is strictly prohibited.
Trying to be centerfold, catapult, in the zone, juxtapose, teleport on the low. Wrecking ball, ticking ball, pick them all, sick them all. Back with the reckless, rock with the freshest. Hip hop, don't stop, dropping dimensions. Top intellection, new selection. Wannabes wanna act so pretentious. Stars aligning with my constellations. Dedication, never on occasion. Meditation, but more than patience. Imagination turns the pages. I'm activated on what's latest. I ain't really tripping on any fucking hoes. I'm just trying to get up and stay up on my toes. Ain't the jungle, monster tunnel. Kick the tempo, just like hempo. Turn the bass up, hit the endo, master fader, 12-inch layers, bringing flavors from the quasars. I'm such a smooth operator, keep it going, I'm stacking up. I can talk all this and still back it up. Don't come around trying to back me up. Shot dating, I'm heartbreaking, I ain't saving. I'm save the youth, when I was a juvie, they locked me up. But I came right back with a gangster slap. Shut your fucking face with your yapping ass. You ain't busting grapes, you ain't pushing weight. Too high of fake, man, you say you real, but your ass is fake. Follow me because I navigate. When I come around, you do salivate. And that's why you hate, bitch. Yeah, I keep it lit, I'm about that life. You about to get tooted, then booted, then boot off the stage. They don't want drug bitches up in a daze. I came to shine and I came here to stay. Don't complain, I parlay, bitch, I'm popping champagne. It's as loud as that dank that you smelling today. They requested the dame cause she don't sound the same. Used to wearing bibs all up in your crib. You can take your shit to the backyard just like a pit. Let it burn, skids, apocalypse. Grab your crucifix, better bust a bitch, cause I'll bust a bitch. With my two bare hands, I don't need a clip. I could handle it, you a scandalous skits, counterfeit. Kick it like jujitsu, jitsu. I ain't fucking with you, with you. Take a look around and see who coming up with you.
Squinkler! Hey, what's up? It's Squinkler, and you're listening to Whammy Radio.
Do it my way, I'ma do it my way. Ema mug it my way,
I'ma do it my way.
I'ma do it my way, I'ma do it my way. Ema mug it my way,
I'ma do it my way.
Toma wali shite keto, chanto te ni reta no. Dane mo mane dekinai, dane ni mo, dane ni mo. Toma wali shite keto.
Can't nobody do it like I do. 誰も真似できないスタイル。世界規模、宇宙規模、秘密の X ファイル、モザイクで隠せないサイズ。これはスタントマンなしで飛び込むグランドセーフ。暴走中です。Let's do this easy 余裕です。点と点繋げる地球とゲッツマン。操縦 情効果はエッドレス間違えた時はコマンド Z グッズ
時に私を冷める冷たい風が吹いたとしても I don't care 余裕な顔で切り抜けてやるんだから昨日までの私よりもっとこの好きな日がもっとずっと誰よりも輝ける I will always be
I'ma do it my way 今まで my way 嫌なら hot way 調子いい my style so clean I'm free もう振り回されない I know that you want this 欲しけりゃ yes must hustle hard this 飾らず見舞いそう infection パパラチ lights flash my niche action
だけどちゃんと手に入れたの誰も真似できない誰にも誰にも遠回りしたけどちゃんと手に入れたの誰も真似できない私だけのスタイル
podcast in the world wide web with the balls to break down the walls. I'm your host, the Whammy Giveaway, and I'm joined with
Chevelle.
Konnichiwa.
I've known Chevelle for about 7 years through DeviantArt. She's a wonderful fan artist, a major anime fan, and a proud 12th girl of the Seattle Seahawks. Ka-ka! After long years of being separated from texting, we're about to reconnect on a microphone. Sit back and relax, fans, because we're about to throw on the throwback for Whammy Radio. This won't be a singular relative topic like my Clipper season wrap-up or my Comic Concast. This is no holds barred, so we're talking anything and everything. But I need to know, where does your last name come from, your Chevelle Abad name?
It's Filipino in heritage. Most people pronounce it either Abad or Abad. I kind of grew up pronouncing it Abad because my dad's white, but he's like at least part Filipino, and my mom's full Filipino. So that's pretty much where my last name comes from.
I'll just call you Abad. It has that Arabian feel to it.
Yeah. I know some people used to think that it might be like not Filipino, but yeah, it kind of. That and like people would always say like, oh, you're a bad girl.
You know, oh my
like,
God.
That kind of stuff. I'm like, no, not really. Yeah.
I want to know what your first anime title was. How did this anime attract you to the otaku culture? Was this anime title the spark that inspired you to become a fan artist?
Well, it actually started way before anime in the 80s. Of course, I'm an 80s kid, born in 84. So we grew up with a lot of 80s cartoons, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Rainbow Bright, Care Bears, you know, all that stuff. And cartoons back then, like, they were just, there was a feel about them, you know. It really inspired you to, like, create your own characters because there was a lot of variety, a lot of uniqueness. There's a lot of cartoons geared towards girls, boys, but I never really saw the, you know, the barrier. I was into everything. I collected boys' toys just as much as I collected girls' toys. That kind of started my love for drawing because I just loved drawing cartoon characters. And then it went on to the 90s and X-Men, like comic books, just that the action, the adventure, that kind of stuff. I drew a lot of anime characters and anthro characters and just everything. It wasn't till the late 90s that I kind of discovered anime. Anime was always on back then. There'd be like Unico on the Disney Channel, and Nickelodeon had like Grimm's Fairy Tales, and you knew it was not American animation because it just looked different. And my mom, she grew up in Hawaii. She'd been to Japan when she was young because she was a military brat. So she'd tell me that, you know, well, this is Japanese animation. I was like, Japanese animation? That's wow. Really cool. You know, like, I like that. And even my grandparents growing up, my grandmother, she collected like Japanese trinkets and knickknacks and things like that. So I grew up around Japanese stuff like all the time. And both of my mom and my grandmother collected that kind of stuff. So it was just kind of in my face a lot. And I was with my grandfather in the Navy Exchange, actually. And we were in the electronics section. And I saw these anime VHS tapes. And I'll never forget it. It was Tokyo Babylon and it was Ranma. And Ranma was like the thing. Ranma was my ish. I bought it, begged my grandfather to buy it for me, and it was my first anime VHS tape. It was the first time I'd seen anything that wasn't on TV. I was in for a huge shock when I got home, too, because like I watched it, and it was so adult. You know, it was so like not really stuff they'd be showing on TV. Like, Rama turned into a girl, and you saw his boobs, and he was naked, and I was like, what am I watching? Am I supposed to be watching this? Like,
porno!
I didn't know, and Tokyo Babylon was like kind of violent and dark, but I was just hooked. I was just like, this is what I've been looking for, like, all this time. Like, I love this, you know? And so Ranma was really the first anime that really got me inspired to draw and to kind of be otaku, although I didn't know how to pronounce anything at the time, so I was calling it, like, I was calling anime anime, which is so stupid. And, like, I'd be, like, calling Japan clubs, like, around town, and, like, it was just guys, you know? So my dad would be like, no, you're not going to anime clubs because it's just a bunch of sweaty old guys. Like you can't do that, you know? And so it was like, it was so new. And the rest is history after that. Pokemon was on TV and all that other stuff. So the 90s to me was just the starting point of anime. And I seemed to be getting into it when everyone else was, because when I was buying them and stuff, I didn't even know it was popular. I bought Tenchi. Tenchi was the second series I got into. I didn't even know.
I love Tenchi.
Yeah, I didn't even know that Tenchi would be on Toonami like several years later. I didn't know it was popular. I just bought what I thought looked cool. It ended up being like these big hits in the US. So yeah, that's pretty much where I got my start with being into anime.
Yeah, my first love with anime was pretty strange. I went to Fresno a long time ago to meet my tia Silvia. And when we were going to visit mi tia Concha at San Joaquin Valley, and I was checking around the houses, I went to this one house, and on this TV, I saw Dragon Ball. It was the episode with Goku meeting Yamcha. The fight scenes were really incredible. I really like how they choreographed it, all those kicks and punches and all the recoveries and all that stuff. That was the only time I got to watch the English version. I did not watch it a little bit more until I went to Mexico, probably a year after that showing. Of course, it was in Spanish. XHGC, Canal 5, tu mismo canal. I was even more surprised the more I saw it. I was really surprised that Goku actually transformed into a big monkey king. And that really took me off my ass.
Cool story, bro.
Oh, man. But ever since then, and around the same time, my tia Beatriz, Descanse en Paz, had the Alien vs. Predator and Darkstalkers arcade machines next to her paleteria. And looking at the Darkstalkers one, I didn't care much about Alien vs. Predator. I still like it, though. But looking at the Darkstalkers one, I was, like, really surprised. And there was just too much to bear on that series, you know? Like, looking at Dimitri, Felicia, Morgan. I think that's kind of, like, where I got my love for anime, even though it kind of started out a very obscure way. I could never figure out how I got into it, but I know why I like it.
Oh, absolutely. Anime does that, you know? It's kind of funny, like, you're talking about Darkstalkers, and one of the other first animes I ever watched was actually a Face on Fighting Game 2, and it was Samurai Showdown. And I remember watching that tape, like, God, probably every day. That's the funny thing, too, is, like, when I had anime, I would have only one tape at a time, because back then, they were, like, $35 a piece. Like, and that's kind of an exaggeration, because they're, like, $25 a piece. But they're expensive, you know? So when you got a tape, you were watching it over and over and over again until you could get the next one. you know, until they were finally on TV where you could just like turn on a television and it's like Toonami is on or something like that.
Was that the only episode they released of Samurai Showdown?
It was a movie or OAV. I'm not sure. But yeah, there's only like one tape. They had other ones, but they never got released in the States. So Darkstalkers, I remember, was like also OAV. It's like four episodes long. So yeah.
Great experiment. While watching the Darkstalkers OAV, play it amongst the Prodigy's Fat of the Land album. That is really interesting. I like how Smack My Bitch Up went up with all the action scenes.
Very interesting.
That sounds really cool. I'll have to try that.
Your drawings have a fun and carefree spirit about them. Not only are they vibrant and very cute, there's also a fine line in your designs. Or to put it bluntly, your line arts help build up the personality of your characters. How would you describe your art style? Who were some of your biggest influences growing up?
Oh, geez. That's a loaded question.
I do that.
Besides the 80s cartoons, just anime in general, I don't know exactly why, but I've always liked drawing characters. You know, I like making up my own characters. I have some that are just old as time. My very first character I ever drew, very, very first, I was in kindergarten. I drew a superhero mouse named Caper the Mouse. I was so like proud of myself for drawing him because he was made up of all C's. So you could draw the bottom of his face with a C. You could draw his ears with a C, the inside of his ears with a C. I drew his eyes with a C. I don't know why. But he looked kind of anime, and I wasn't really into it then. It just had that look, you know, because his eyes were very big, you know. I remember drawing, like, little comics of him and stuff like that when I was younger. But the colorful quality of anime and just the way they look, the way that they're so, I don't know, there's just an aesthetic about it that really draws me. When I was in high school or middle school, actually, a friend of mine bought me a Japanese anime book. She bought it from like Tower Records or something. Again, I wasn't really that big into anime. I wasn't like letting everyone know, hey, I'm an anime fan. You know, like I just like the stuff. And she bought me this book and she gave it to me for my birthday. And she's like, this seems like something you'd like. And I was kind of taken aback. I was like, wow, this person knows like what I like, you know? I actually remember tracing from that a lot. I traced a lot. I'm a kid, you know? I mean, that's what everybody does. It's big in, I guess, the internet culture now, not to like, oh, you're bad for tracing, but I'm not going to lie. You know, I traced. I traced everything because I wanted to know exactly how an anime character was drawn. It was my learning process. I didn't really necessarily go around and say, hey, I drew this by myself. No, it was just more like, I want to learn how Japanese anime is drawn. I traced, I copied, I referenced, everything under the sun. You know, not only Ranma, but Sonic the Hedgehog was like huge for me back then too. Because again, big eyes, colorful. Cartoons and anime was just one and the same to me at the time. So I was totally influenced by Rumiko Takahashi, the character designer for the anime, Atsuko Nakajima. A lot of Japanese people, so if I lose you with like a bunch of Japanese names, it just it's mostly Japanese artists, but you know, like a lot of comic book artists too. There was an artist for the Sonic comics. His name was Patrick Spaziante. He was the number one Sonic artist for me. I just loved how it looked so official. Like I like things to look official. I like them to look for real. I don't want it to just be like a copy, like a carbon copy. I want it to kind of have my own flavor. So watching artists that could do that, make it look official, but at the same time, make it look their own. And you could tell like the artist's style, you know, so you could point it out and be like, oh, that's Patrick Spaziante's art, or that's, you know, Takahashi's art. And just like a lot of the 80s and 90s artists are my major influences as far as art goes.
Most of your art is based on the old school anime that came in the 1980s. Titles like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball, Tenchi Muyo, Ranma Half. The animes back then were figuring out how to become a part of the Western Hemisphere. Nowadays, anime seems to have cooled down. The edge that Japanese animation used to have in the past isn't what it used to be now. Is it just because of the times, or has it become too popular? Is there a greater appreciation for old school anime now than there was when it first invaded the United States?
You know, I have this conversation a lot with one of my friends, because we're both big anime fans from like the 80s and 90s. He's more the mecha side, the big robots and bloody, gory, just fantastical anime. And I'm more the, all the other stuff, although I do like that. And we have that discussion a lot because, yeah, like I just said, like he's into big robots and gore and action and blood and just kind of like darkness, you know, and that darkness isn't really there anymore. A lot of anime nowadays is influenced by the moe culture, the Akihabara maid cafes and idol singers. And I don't understand how it's evolved, but I know it's because it's Japan and Japan's always evolving. I mean, if you look at Japanese culture in general, they're always evolving. They're always moving forward. Sometimes the older things kind of get lost. Tokyo is so big now, it's very hard to find those little Japanese shops that just specialize in that one thing. You know, those really charming places. They're still there. I mean, it's part of their culture, but buildings get higher, technology gets bigger. A lot of it has to do with the fact that everything's not hand-drawn anymore. You know, everything's done on computers. A lot of the old creators are getting older. They're going to die eventually. It's unavoidable. I was watching this drama. It's called Blue Blazes. It's about, it's not really an autobiography, but it's about this guy in college met with these great anime directors, Hideaki Anno, who did Evangelion, a lot of the guys who formed Gainax, and just a lot of different creators at the time, back in like the 70s. It was such a great drama because it showed you the passion that animators had for series back, for creating things, you know. They just make these tiny little studios. They just form by themselves, you know, just these five guys just didn't really know what they're doing. And they just wanted to make animation. They just wanted to make things move and work. And I don't really see that as much today. You know, animators get paid crap. I mean, that's the truth in Japan. They don't get their own, you know, animator desks. You know, they have to share everything. They're crumped up together, you know, like
Disney style desks or something like that.
Not really. In Japan, they actually do it a little differently. Here, the Disney animators or just the animators in general, they have the three pegs that they put the animation paper on. And here, it's on the bottom. In Japan, it's on the top. I'm not really sure why that is, but it's kind of different. And their animation tables are a little different. Like here, they rotate and they're very expensive. Like, but in Japan, they just use like a regular desk to flip the animations. But I was watching a show yesterday and the animator was talking about how an animator for Sanrio actually was talking about how he went to the Disney studios and he was shocked because the Disney studio animators had their own room to animate. In Japan, it's just not like that. They are squished together in a bunch of animators, maybe 50 at a time in one tiny room, and they have to share that space and they don't, you know, it's very different and it's kind of sad. A lot of animators that get overworked in Japan, maybe a lot of them are just learning from what's out there now. And of course, what's out there now is moe stuff. So everybody wants to keep drawing that. I'm actually on the side of Miyazaki and Anno. A lot of these older animators, Tomino, the guy who does Gundam, they're all talking about how anime isn't what it used to be. You know, there's a lot of guys now that they're otaku, you know, that only know how to draw otaku things. And if you know what that means, it just means that, yeah, you're just drawing the same kind of stuff that you're just seeing, that no one's really making the same efforts that maybe we made back in the 80s and 90s. My hope is that, at least for Western artists now, that they do the things that they were inspired by back in the 80s. And that's already happening. I was going to back a project by LaShawn Thomas, and he did Cannon Busters. He did a Kickstarter for this animated series that really felt like that. That felt like that old anime stuff. There's a ton of Kickstarters now that are trying to do that. So even though maybe anime today, like the mainstream stuff, isn't really the same feeling as like the 80s and 90s stuff, there's creators out there, non-Japanese people, who are trying to keep the kind of spirit alive. And I'm really excited at least about that. So definitely back those kind of people for sure.
I can't wait to talk about Marvel and Capcom versus Pokemon because there's something tied to Kickstarter. I also saw the Cannon Busters video. That was really cool. I want to say good luck to, what was his name?
LaShawn Thomas.
Yeah, I'm going to give good luck to LaShawn. And if you're listening, give me a drop on the podcast.
Yeah, get him and interview him because that would be amazing.
Yeah. There are a lot of other fan artists I would like to put on my show, you know, because I want to be able to vary my content. You know, I just don't want to be like this sports guy, this Bill Simmons ripoff, or some kind of a music only interviewer. Like, I want to be able to hit all bases.
Well, I like that. You know, I mean, that's me too. I'm not just into anime. I'm into comics. I'm into food. I'm into just culture. I mean, that's what I want to do eventually with my blog, is it's not just going to be anime. It's going to be like everything that kind of encompasses that. And I think as long as you have that melting pot of things, they kind of all blend together as long as you're passionate about it. So that's really cool that you do all those things at once.
There was a time when I really wanted to try out drawing. I bought this How to Draw manga book back when I was really into it, but every time I wanted to do it, I would get this trigger in my head saying stuff like, the shapes are wrong, lines are straight, design doesn't match up. You know, when I was in graphics class back at Artesia High School, shout outs to Artesia in Lakewood, I had this assignment from my teacher, Mr. Castro. He brought out this anime-looking character that kind of looks like one of the characters from Dragon Ball. As I was designing the guy, one of the biggest problems I had was his spiky hair. That was one of the most horrific experiences I ever had in trying to really duplicate this character. And every time I kept doing that, I always went back to the hair, There were even points that I had to fix the eyes, and the lips were a little stiff. It just didn't feel like the anime I saw. So eventually, I gave into peer pressure and I never drew again. What is it like being a fan artist growing up? Was there a lot of ups and downs, not just on the artistic side, but on a personal level as well?
Anime was still kind of a new thing. The internet was not really as big as it is now, for sure. So when I was drawing a lot of anime stuff, yeah, I had the same problems. I mean, every artist does. You know, we draw things and we're just like, this looks like crap. I don't want to draw this anymore. You know, throw it away, crumple it up. Anime style was... It's weird. For me, it was never really hard because I just loved it so much. Like, I just wanted to draw all the time. I drew insane amounts of hours during school, when I'm not in school, during the summer, when I'm eating even. Like, I had a pen and paper with me, like, all the time. I never did not draw. But people will ask you, oh, is this a viable career for you? Art doesn't really make a lot of money. I heard that so much growing up, even to the point where, you know, I've got into fights with my family over it. And even my teacher in high school, she was just like, you're never going to make anything from this. You're better off drawing real stuff, because that's, your real stuff looks so much better. You know, like, ugh. Like, I hated that. It was hard. Of course, I rebelled and didn't. All of my art pieces in high school were anime related or Japanese related. If I couldn't do anime, I just do Japanese stuff. I remember I drew a Torii gate, the big red gates that they have in Japan. And I drew a reflection on the water with like colored pastels and something. And that actually won like a contest in high school, or at least got honors, which was nice, you know, but at the same time, it was just like, everybody was wanting me to be something I wasn't, you know. Even with that piece, I had to write a poem with it. And I had such a hard time writing a poem for it, because it was just like, I just drew it because I liked Japan. There was no like, oh, the feeling that I have with the reflection on the water, you know, like this artsy fartsy poopy stuff, you know, like I didn't feel anything for it. I just drew it because I liked it, you know, but I had to make this poem. And I got into a fight with my mom over it, because she had to end up writing it for me. And I had to go and present this in front of people. And I just didn't feel good about it. I was just like, this isn't me. I am not this person. I like anime. Let me draw anime, you know. There was a lot of pressure. After high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with myself. I still kind of don't, you know, but I knew that I liked drawing, and I knew I liked Japan. And the pressure was that I either had to do something with it, or I had to go be a doctor or be a lawyer or be a nurse or stuff like that. And it caused a lot of inner problems with myself. I never believed that I could do anything with my own stuff. After high school, like, I still just trying to draw, just kind of doing my thing, you know. We didn't really have DeviantArt back then. We did, but it wasn't big like it is now. I didn't know to make a blog. The internet was so new, you know. Nowadays, people have it easy. You know, you can make a Kickstarter, you can do a blog. But 10, 12 years ago, I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to ask. My mom would be pressuring me to, oh, find somebody, you know, to be your mentor and ask them how they got into the business. And back then it was like, it was luck. Anime was not a big thing. Manga wasn't big. You know, you go to a comic book convention to show off your stuff, they're going to be like, you draw anime, we can't hire you. Because nobody was. Even artists like Joe Madureira, he drew kind of this hybrid anime manga style with comic books, and people didn't like it. It was weird at first to them. It was like, ew, anime. You know, that was the kind of the thing back then. You know, after high school, I I didn't know what to do. And I just kind of chose stuff because that was the easiest thing. I chose comics. I chose to try to get into comic books, and I had a friend help me with it, but I was fighting it. I was fighting it hard because that's not really what I wanted to do, but I felt like I had to choose something, you know? And then I joined websites and I did commissions. That was hard. Like, commissions were still kind of new back then to me, doing stuff for people. It was like the only thing you could pick. I felt like it was the only thing I could do. I just didn't believe enough in my stuff because other people didn't really believe in me. It's hard to draw when you don't have people supporting you, when you don't have that people backing you up, and especially drawing anime. Like, you could maybe draw, be a fine artist, and maybe people would back you up just a little bit, you know? But since I was into something that was like so new and not really a big thing, then people just thought, oh, well, she just draws cartoons. That was a hard thing to get over, but I just knew that I loved it, so I just kept doing it. Regardless of what happened, it got me in trouble a lot because, you know, there's a lot of things that go into being a freelance artist and just doing art in general. Drawing is a very emotional thing, and that's probably why a lot of people can't do it sometimes. It's a struggle, but at least one thing I've learned is you just got to keep doing it because you love it, no matter what it looks like. You got to draw those 1,000 doo-doo drawings before you get to the good one. That's just how it is. And even now, I'm not really happy with my style. I don't think I'll ever be because I'm an artist. That's the struggle you go through. You always think that your art's going to look like crap. You're thankful if people like it, but it's just how it is. So if you draw something that looks like crap one day, you know, it's okay. Just keep doing it.
That's why we have a word in the English dictionary called improvement.
The power is yours.
Yeah, exactly. There's always room for improvement.
Anime isn't just about martial arts and Japanese culture. There even exists an adult atmosphere of fantasy, lust, passion, and desire, or what we like to call hentai. As I became connected with the world of anime, I had to accept the subgenre, especially with the much tougher topics. I'm more of a pure yuri fan, girl-girl love, without the hardcore. Most of the fan artists I began watching and admiring was because of yuri. What is your initial opinions of hentai and yuri, and fan artists using it as a building block to something bigger?
Well, as I got older, I like drawing sexy girls. Curves, so much easier to draw than guys for me. But yeah, you know, that's another one of those things that made it hard for people to accept anime, was that there was cartoons, quote unquote, that were drawn in adult situations. There was hentai. One of the things I will never forget for the rest of my life, which kind of inspired me to actually keep drawing, is I was in a Hollywood video. There was a kid looking at a Sailor Moon tape. Sailor Moon, of all things, you know. Her mom runs up to her, grabs her by the arm, slams the tape back onto the rack. And she's like, I don't want you watching this nasty anime stuff. And she just walks away with her kid. And she was looking at Sailor Moon. There was a stigma of anime is for adults. Anime is gross. And I still hear it today. Like, literally, even last year, I was at a restaurant and the table across from me was talking about how anime is disgusting and hentai is disgusting and just all this like stereotypical mumbo jumbo. And I'm terrible. I am like eavesdropping on people all the time, especially if it's about anime stuff. I will like listen from the next table over. I was like, man, that stigma is still around. People still think that anime is just boobies and sex and all this stuff, you know?
Porno!
And it kind of gets me a little irritated, kind of makes me a little mad. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's because I'm really into that stuff. I'm really into the culture. I'm really into anime stuff, but there's still that thing around. But I don't see a problem with it, you know? I watch some hentai. I think some of them are hilarious from the 80s and 90s. You go back and watch those. They're called hentai, but they're funny. Like, they're just joking around. Like, the girl's naked, sure, but like, there's this one, I think it's actually on YouTube. It's called Pop Chaser. It's by this series called Cream Lemon, and a lot of the major animators worked on this series. There's tons. The people who worked on Pop Chaser went on to do Project Eiko.
Wow.
They went on to do Yurusei Yatsura. They went on to do Ranma, even.
Holy
There's another short by the creators who did Vampire Hunter, Vampire Princess Mew, not Vampire Hunter, Vampire Princess Mew and Ixer One, Ixelion. There's tons. I mean, you go look up Cream Lemon, you will see all these animators that went on to do non-hentai titles. But that's the thing. Tons of Japanese creators got their start doing hentai or doujinshi. even Yuri, like, you know, Yuri, Yaoi, both of them, they all did doujinshi. Clamp started doing doujinshi. Joji Manabe, the guy who did Outlanders, he does tons of hentai. Like, it's just there, you know? And I was watching an episode of, it's an Anthony Bourdain show. He's a travel guy. And he went to Japan and he was talking about how the adult stuff of Japan and how they had to censor everything back then because they couldn't really use like real dudes, you know, junk or anything like that.
I want a 12-inch from DeMarcus Cousins.
That's where tentacles came from. That's where like people drew octopuses with like girls. That's where it came from because they couldn't draw that. It was like that stuff's everywhere. It's ingrained in their culture. Do they like it all the time? Probably not. But it's just a part of anime, but it's not all that anime is. But there's a, I can't speak for everyone, but they're one of the few genres where people are very open about character relationships. You know, you got your Yaoi pairings, you got your Yuri pairings, you got Utena, for example, or there's another one, I forgot the name of it, Cyst or something.
We don't know.
I don't know. There's a bunch, even in like old 80s ones, like Ixer. The girls obviously had a relationship with each other. Like, they were definitely a couple. That's for sure. It was very subtle, but it was there. It's just, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of limits. It seems like there's limits now. There wasn't a lot of limits to what they wanted to do with animation. And I think that's really great, regardless if it's adult animation or not, whether it's girls with girls or guys with guys or whatever, you know, animes just seem limitless. And that's what I really loved about it, was that it didn't conform to anything. It was just kind of its own thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with watching hentai every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. Not all of them are good, but I like that about anime.
Yeah, I like that they don't care about limits. They are willing to take those risks, and if it's good for them, it's good. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We're going to take a little break and pay some imaginary bills right now. As we recover from our own artistic nostalgia, shout outs to Usamimi, Chevelle, break down the next song on the list.
L.A. River Drive by Dilated Peoples.
I may be 5 months late to the party, but damn it, you cannot deny the alchemy artistry of the alchemist. Sick Jacket of Psycho Realm on the track. More walls to bust on the second half of Whammy Radio.
Whammy Radio.
From the time I ride out to the time I'm home, I pray for a safe travel guide while I'm gone.
Overstanders versus overseers, overseas or over here. Classic overachiever, holding class for non-believers. Hold your pass and will call, biggest giants will fall. Lightning bolts your ear like LT, but this ain't football. Mid-city magic, it's parades after the rat race. Wreck the Grand Marshal's buffet until they stack plates. Sparking martial arts, heavy metal on the podium. Head spinning like Caesar, no cardboard or linoleum. Breaking history out the freezer, finding future where the seeds are. Roll with Jesus types, knowing these lights could cause a seizure. Downtown skyline, till the place shifted. Big brain teaser scriptures, moving major motion pictures. Put the night to sleep, then I rise and wake the morning up. Study the queen, Calafia, California. Sprinkle holy water, blessed oil anointed. Some rap to spit, some would say a circle is pointless. Live from L.A. River Drive, where some are happy enough to know they're getting by, where some are at the very lowest when they're getting high, and others try to wake them up and open up their eyes. When the cold streets are warming up, put the night to sleep, when I rise, wake the morning up. Put the night to sleep, when I rise, wake the morning up.
From the time I ride out to the time I'm home, I pray for a safe travel guide while I'm gone. Yeah. They watch our moves, every step becomes the cinema. With cameras in the streetlights, the city life, I live it up. Only my notable moments are here for quoting. The rest are over, gone with the wind, it's like the cold is blowing. But fuck it, the pen's in motion like my Venice Ocean. Like my city done, switched up, but I'm still devoted. I ride the coping out, my reputation spoke about a west side of killing till I'm paid in full and bills are folded. Damn, it's nothing new, like this the cutting room floor. Picking up a scrap or two less and break the rules more. So who's up for being up to something? Used to being nothing. Used to be confused, but ain't no future in your front. And times as hard as fuck, like back then when the Carter struck. I'm talking new Jack and not a new rapper, some artist look. I've been different from the coast of the Pacific. This shit is scripted, just directors with the vision. What?
Live from L.A. River Drive, where some are happy enough to know they're getting by. Where some are at the very lowest when they're getting high. And others try to wake them up and open up their eyes. with them. Cold streets are warming up. Put the night to sleep when I rise, wake the morning up. Put the night to sleep when I rise, wake the morning up.
Time I ride out to the time I'm home, I pray for a safe travel, God, while I'm gone.
Every morning that I get up, wake up thankful that I wasn't set up, blessed with another day, so I bow my head and shut up. Cause anything can happen on these streets, it don't mean I'm out of reach. Cause I'm rapping over beats, ass big, ass pop, ass pigs, ass blocks. Disrespect, ass drop, it don't matter if you have props. Enemies I have not, so I don't gotta deal with this. Been able to avoid the drama cause I kept it real with it. Disregard the negative cause all that shit is relative. Sedative with dilated, alchemist is editing. Red blows evidently, it's good to be home. A microphone, some moonshine, and I'm in the zone. It's on concrete and palm tree, constantly we all beat. Everything I saw today determine how the song beat. All around the world with this so you can say you saw me. And if you didn't know, Double S got an army like that.
Live from LA River Drive, where some are happy enough to know they're getting by, where some are at the very lowest when they're getting high, and others try to wake them up and open up their eyes. When the cold streets are warming up, put the night to sleep. When I rise, wake the morning up. Put the night to sleep. When I rise, wake the morning up.
Whammy Radio.
Now
した
照らした
光は
光は
闇の中遠くに霞んでいく
君も私みたいに寂しそうに見えたよ What you want? What you want? 愛はどこにも行かずさまよって君のせいで気が狂いそう
Driving me crazy
頭の中をかき乱してこの音に乗せて夢を乗せて Driving me crazy
Whammy Radio continues.